Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet Pat Chat Edition. I'm Violet.
And I'm Pat.
We bring you guys the articles that Patrick finds online that we find either interesting because they're educational, interesting because they're, would we call that ridiculous, or interesting because sometimes they might be a little funny. And as usual, I have no idea what's coming today, but I'm being told that it should be educational. So
it's going to be fun. Yeah.
And fun? Okay,
and
great.
Fun. Yeah, yeah. This week we talk about food. So I came across an article, food. This week, So I came across an article that was titled, "What a Husband and Wife Who's Been on Keto for 6 Years Keep in Their Kitchen."
6 years.
And yeah. I didn't maybe find the idea interesting to tell our viewers, what do we keep in our kitchen too? Like in a, on a keto lifestyle.
So that means you've already kind of gone through your kitchen and figured out what you keep in your kitchen? It's like a test now to see what I have in my kitchen?
No, not really. We often hear that keto is expensive, that keto is not sustainable, that keto takes, like the keto meals takes long to cook. And like, before we go through the list of food you should keep in your kitchen or what like this husband and wife kept are keeping in their kitchen on a keto lifestyle, like I thought it would be an interesting thing to see what we do keep in our kitchen.
Okay, well, I guess the thing I would talk about first is you start off by saying, well, keto's expensive.
Well, some think keto.
Okay. Some people think keto's expensive, and actually I find I spend about the same. The difference, though, is that what I actually buy, I eat, and what I'm eating is healthier. But I don't think I'm spending more money. I think I'm just, but I'm also buying less food. So, right? Because I do feel like I'm buying better quality food. And so, but
and
at the same time.
You're buying less food because?
Well, because I'm not buying chips and I'm not buying cookies.
But because also you have one meal a day. You do only one meal a day. So you're not have to really
bother. So there's a however there. I don't think that that's why I'm buying less food.
Okay.
Because the truth is when I was doing 3 meals a day, well, I never did 3 meals. When I was doing 2 meals a day, even though I was doing 2 meals a day, my lunch rarely consisted of a piece of meat. Okay. Right? It was usually some kind of sandwich, something, or some kind. Like, it was never. Or I would buy lunch, or like, and it was like a pizza, or like some kind of. It was never like a. Like, seriously, it wasn't a meal.
Okay.
But so, like, mostly I think that the reason that I'm buying less now is because I'm actually buying less groceries. Like, it's. First of all, it's not as hard to keep my house stocked because I'm buying vegetables and meat. And of course, I mean, I do buy a few snacks for my daughter, but she doesn't eat that many snacks. So yeah. So it's not that hard, actually. Okay. So expensive, I would say it's about the same.
Okay. What are your go-to items that you have? Because you don't go like to the grocery stores every day.
So the go-to things that I have to buy all the time, again, my daughter still drinks milk, so there's milk I buy all the time.
Yeah.
Actually, that's the only go-to thing that I have to buy, like, very regularly.
For you, I mean.
No, I'm just thinking, like, what do I buy regularly? So the things that I buy, like, probably quarterly would be coconut oil, olive oil, avocado oil. Maybe I buy eggs every other week.
But are you planning your meals?
I buy meat. Yeah, lots of meat.
Your meal planning, are you doing, like, that you plan once a week? Or you just go every 4 or 5 days to the grocery store?
So
how do you do that?
So it depends on what's happening in my week. I will say that. But normally I cook enough for 2 meals. Like that's the way I plan things, because I've never liked to cook and that hasn't changed. So if I cook, the meal I'm having today, I make it. And then I make a meal for the next like 2 days later or 3 days later, depending if I feel like cooking tomorrow or not. So if tomorrow I don't feel like cooking, I might have something that I made the day before. Or I might eat some, right? So I always have like 2 things in the fridge that I could choose from. And like, so I'm going forward like that. So, and the vegetable that goes beside, it depends. 99% of the time, if I do have vegetables, they were pre-made. So, and they can last me for a few days.
Okay.
So
you batch cook your vegetables.
And I will even freeze things.
You batch cook your vegetables.
Yeah, batch cook my vegetables. And let me just think. Salad. Salad I make on a regular. So, like, if I'm going to have a salad, I make it the same day. That I don't like to. to pre-prepare. Yeah. I hate wilted salads, so.
So, no, I do think, like, I do, like, about the same. I go to the store every maybe 3-4 days. I don't
plan. So you go to the shopping more often.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do a little bit more shopping, like, with the shared custody with my sons. Like, I do when I have them, and I have them, like, every few days for 2-3 days. So I take that opportunity to go to Costco, buy some stuff when I have them, and make sure I have, like, more stuff so when I don't have them, like, also, like, most of the time with Costco size, with, like, with the meat and the beef and the pork, I do have meat for the few days after. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do, like, so I do, when I go to Costco, I do buy, like, usually I'll have some beef. It's, like, on a good price. I'll have some fish, that's for sure, and some pork.
Actually,
and I do get, like, the vegetables, too. Like,
what's interesting, I just realized, yeah. I used to buy so much more peanut butter, which is, like, I'm sitting here thinking about it. True. I used to buy so much more peanut butter, and so that's something that I don't actually buy very much of.
Okay.
I don't know why, but that just came to me as something that I don't buy anymore. I used to buy a lot more cereal. I only buy a little bit of cereal because my daughter still eats cereal.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Just thinking, I used to buy rice. She doesn't eat rice, and I don't eat rice, so I don't buy rice anymore.
No rice anymore, yeah.
I feel like there's more things I've stopped buying than things I've had to add because... Again, I was just taking those carbs out, but then, like, everything else we were eating was already healthy. So it's just keeping those vegetables, keeping the good meats. And in our household, we were never really a dessert family. So that was never something to deal with. However, my daughter does eat snacks, so which I see as different. So...
kind of snacks? Cereals, mostly?
Granola bars.
Granola bars,
okay. And stuff like that. However, I will say that... In terms of the snacks, she's also started eating the nuts that I buy. So, like, that's kind of worked out. The cheese, she eats cheese and I eat cheese. So, that kind of works out.
Mm. So by the way, we have 3 14 years old. So, they're, like, in full teen mode. So, they do eat a lot.
Although in your house, it's a bit different. Because they do eat dessert.
They do eat snacks. What I try to do, for sure, for meals, what I try to do is bring them on, not full keto, but on my path. Like, when I don't want to do, like, 2 separate meals. It's really rare that I'm going to... Sometimes, like, if I want to make my life easier and they like pasta, I'm gonna cook them pasta. But it's, like, rare and more and more rare. Like, it's not often that I'm gonna cook pasta. So even for them, it's often gonna be, like, a piece of meat. They do, like, all kinds of meat. They do like chicken, steak, fish, and so that's good. And they do, like, salad, like Caesar salad. So like Caesar salad with meat, like,
both of our kids are that's a hit meal. Caesar salad with some kind of meat, that's like a hit meal. I actually find it funny because you're just mentioning pasta, and so I don't have pasta in my house, although she still has access to pasta at grandma's house, so that still works out for her. But, like, at home, we don't, like, basically whatever I make, so I'm not as accommodating as you are. Whatever I make, she eats. So that's supper, but she's pretty good. But at the same time, she has lots of access of having supper at my mom's house if she feels like it, so it's a kind of her choice. Mm-hmm. She can wait till I get home, or she can eat while she's there.
Yeah. So last part, I have to like try to help them get better is on the dessert. They do like ice cream. They do like cookies. So
that's mine.
So yeah.
She likes ice cream.
They have it once a day, but
I feel like the difference is that it's like, although she likes ice cream and cookies and stuff, like, you guys, the same thing. It's like at our house, because dessert isn't a thing, she has it less often.
Okay. Yeah.
Whereas, like,
for us, it's in our routine.
It's a daily routine.
It's a daily routine. That's for sure.
But for sure, like, at least twice a week, she for sure will have something, kind of like an ice creamy thing. But, like, it's more the snacking. It's more like the how do you call those things, like cereal like it's that stuff. But ice cream and cookies, that's less her thing. But I think every kid is different, right? Like, every kid has that whatever their sweet tooth looks like is like it's gonna be different between kids. And I think that, you know, it's also about what you're saying. It's like getting them in the knowledge. Like, it's interesting to me, the other day, my daughter actually did her calculations for the day to see how she was going to do. And actually came out at 106, which is low carb. So she was able to get through her day 106 and was happy with it. She still had a few snacks and was, like, really happy with how she did. I think every kid's different.
All that to say that we can... I think my two sons are less aware of like the carb counting, and one who's like, no, I want my sugar, I want my carbs, and like he's not there yet. But like I try to bring him on the like this, at least to be more more aware of the carbs like that he ingests like in a day.
I'm talking about Jake.
Jake like he's and then as for Gabriel, Gabriel,
we're not expecting Gabriel to be on
but
that.
But he's a big, he loves milk. And lately I've been trying to replace like at least half of his milk with almond milk. So it's working like not so bad. And what about like other stuff? Like for sure, like when I switched over to keto, I started eating a lot of nuts, like even to a point where it was a bit too much. But like I still do have them like in my so whenever I go to Costco, I buy like a container, so I have like those salted mixed nuts. So those
putting me on the spot.
Yeah, no, you went through that too.
Okay,
but like
I'm not buying nuts anymore.
yeah, you don't. I do.
I've stopped because I did find it was becoming a thing. So I kind of like probably once in a blue moon I'll buy them. Like again. Yeah. I'm going to start treating it like a treat, but I'm not going to have them in the house all the time. But that's like a conscious choice. I feel like the thing that I'm noticing is that for me, and especially I did notice it flavor-wise, I was actually starting to taste the nuts being sweet. And I'm just okay, come on, what the heck? You know, but I think it's just like the less sweet you have in your life, the more you start to taste where it is. And the cashews especially. I was liking them, but then realizing like I actually taste them. Like if they're sweet, I'm like, so I'd have made that adjustment that I'm less, I'm really trying my best right now to focus on food as fuel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, 90% of the time, because I'm allowing myself to see food as fuel, then I have the opportunity to go out and do more things in life. So, you know, have more fun, ride my ride my longboard or my skateboard.
Okay.
And all my other things, my rollerblades, my whatever. So, but you know what? Actually, just as we're talking about like deciding to like put things, like where am I putting things? I actually decided to cut back on cheese as well.
Oh, cheese, okay.
Because I was starting to see it. I started to see like, oh, I was looking forward to that cheese a little bit more than just fulfilling myself. So, but I, you know what? I think everybody's different. Like,
but cheese, like we were doing the cheese, we're baking the cheese so we have crisps for our avocados.
Yeah.
So you need a certain quantity of cheese like to be able to have like maybe 12, 16 crackers that we were doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a bit like...
so I've decided to move towards other options. Instead of having cheese, I'm going to probably do more pork rinds or...
Mm.
Pork rinds? Yeah, whatever. But again, so we're talking about what people have in their kitchen.
Yeah.
So the funny thing that I have now that I didn't used to have is pork rinds.
Pork rinds, that's a nice
pork rinds. So I do have peanut butter, like I said, I don't buy as much. But the peanut butter that I have now is the like just nuts, like just ground nuts. There's a part of me that wonders why I don't just grind it myself, but I think I'm just a little bit too lazy for that. So I have the peanut butter as something that's new.
Okay,
obviously pink salt is new.
Pink
for
salt
me.
Yeah, pink salt. Okay,
my spices have changed, so because now I do read the labels, and I've given away the spices that were no longer having, that were having sugar in them.
Mm.
And I'm trying to, actually what I've noticed is if you buy a spice that's just the spice, it usually doesn't have any sugar in it. So I'm trying my best to buy like either individual stuff or stuff that doesn't have sugar added. What else do I have in my fridge?
For me, full fat yogurt. So, but I try not to buy it every time I go to the store. I try to treat it as a treat also. And a few times also like dark chocolate, but I do like the 90% dark chocolate. I came to appreciate the taste of, I even tried like one brand has like 98% chocolate. This one is a little bit bitter, but like the 90%, like if you can fit it in your macros, like it's not as carby as the other one. So, why don't we go through those people, that husband and wife, what do they have? I did find the article interesting because it's like all the food is like are categorized. So it's like, it's going to make it easy for you to add things to your list if they were not on it. So the first thing, vegetables.
I was actually just wanted to add something because I think it's interesting. Because I think when people first start keto, the thing that they're most concerned about is being able to snack.
Mm.
Because we're so used to snacking.
Yeah.
Because we right? Yeah, coming from that diet where snacking
is. We'll have a chat on snacking right away.
But I think the thing that I, that as we're talking about this and I'm thinking about what's in my house, the thing that I find the most interesting is that, first of all, when you're paying attention to what you're doing and you start noticing where you get pushed overboard, I still found where I was getting pushed overboard was when I allowed myself to snack. So that's the first thing I want to put out there, is that it's important for you, especially if you're still in your journey and you're not to your ideal health yet, then it's important for you to pay attention to where you might be getting pushed overboard. Like for me, I did notice, even though I was at my ideal health, I was at my ideal weight. I feel like I won't be at my ideal health until I've been doing keto for about 7 or 8 years. Because that's how long it takes you to rebuild a body. So, but like for me, the thing was noticing when I started to be craving and chasing a food, to realize that that means there's carbs there that are calling you.
It wasn't fuel anymore at that point. It wasn't more fuel. Like emotion. Yeah,
exactly. There was some kind of either emotional thing or some kind of dopamine thing or some kind of something happening. So I feel that's important for people to recognize before we start going into this article. I don't really know what's coming at me yet. Yeah. But I think that, you know, even like what you were saying about like, you know, treating something as a treat. Like if I only buy it for a treat, that means it's not on my grocery list for every week. Right? That means I should go a few weeks there before I buy yogurt again, or I should go a few weeks before I buy cheese again, or like buy nuts again in my case, right? Like for me, I know it'll probably be like every other month or something like that. But like, I feel like you need to start thinking about the fact that you're treating it like a treat, the same way that it's very rare that I'll meet someone who has a grocery list where vodka is on it. Right? Because that's something that you have once in a while, right? So like, it's the same kind of idea. You need to think about what carbs do in our body.
Okay, here's a question. At some point, I know it's still a craving, but isn't it better if you come to crave, for example, sea salt macadamia nuts, isn't it better than still crave a cookie?
What I will say is what Dr. Sivas said, which he's a new doctor that I just found, and he said, as soon as you're craving something, you're already in trouble.
Okay.
Right? You need to understand that first moment that you had it, and it was for a craving reason, is telling you something, that you're not paying attention to how you're feeling and you're trying to self-soothe. And so we're already in trouble. So let's make sure that we keep food and keep treats as treats. And I'm not saying don't have it. But I'm saying like when you have it, it should be a thought. They say, oh, okay, I'm going to do this weekend. Not, ooh, I have to have this weekend. Make the distinction, right? If I choose to buy some nuts because I haven't had nuts in a long time, I will do that. And I'm not going to be upset about it. If I go to someone's house and I haven't had nuts in a long time and they have nuts there and I feel like having some, I will do that because I haven't had nuts in a long time. But the same way that if I went out drinking yesterday, I wouldn't, because I went to my friend's house the next day, drink again. I went out drinking yesterday, right? I wouldn't do that 2 days in a row. I wouldn't do the same thing with food, right? If I know I've had it recently, then I had my treat. I keep going forward, right? Until the next time I feel like it's time to have a treat, because treats are occasionally.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that out loud because I think sometimes it's hard for people to know like when is okay to have something. Every person is different. But I always tell people, think about your kids. Again, if it's a treat, you don't buy it for them every day. You don't buy it for them every week, right? It's a treat. You keep that for once in a while, right? Versus the typical foods that you buy for them that they have all the time. Like maybe your kids have granola bars in the house every day, but they go to Dairy Queen probably once a month or once every other month, right? Yeah, it's that.
Okay. Let's go with the vegetables. For sure, the vegetables, like it's a must. You all should always have them in your kitchen. Probably our top picks are leafy greens. I think we have salad more than any other vegetables.
All the leafy greens, yeah.
All the leafy greens, yeah. So, okay, so they do put a list there in alphabetical order. If something like spike, like you say, oh, that's a little bit too carby, just like say it, but like artichokes, asparagus, avocados, that's for sure. Avocados and salad. I think maybe even avocados are, we eat more often than salad. Okay, bell peppers. I know those they're
well, you know, again, everybody's different. Bell peppers, first of all, I believe those are nightshades. So for me, those are like a no-go. But I think they're also very carby. So for me, they're a no-go for two reasons. But it doesn't mean that in a small amount to flavor your food, it can't be there, right? So I mean, they're saying they have them all the time, which is great, but like, so they're present, but it depends on how they're using them.
Yeah, sure. Okay, bok choy, broccoli, obviously. Broccoli, yeah. We do have, like, once in a while, but, like, a little bit more often. Brussels sprouts, I think, are good, but, like,
I can't have Brussels sprouts. I have some kind of reaction to them. I'm not sure why.
Cabbage, yeah, they're good, but, like, also a word, like, of caution, because they're a little bit more carby.
They are a bit more carby, but you wouldn't, you wouldn't want to have, like, a, you know, half cabbage. But, like, if you have a reasonable amount,
Cauliflower, very, very good. And cauliflower, there's, like, many, many, many ways
applications.
To... Yeah, and, like, it's really, like, consider it as your potato replacement. You can do mashed
rice,
cauliflower. You can do rice cauliflower. There's, like, once you kind of master the way to do it.
Actually,
like,
interestingly enough, cabbage can be an interesting rice replacement, too, when you if you do it fine.
Fine, okay.
And you cook, so the cabbage I also find, I've on occasion cooked it in ways that I'm kind of like, oh, you know, it was small pieces, and it kind of... Okay. Mimicked rice.
Okay. They have eggplant. I'm not sure. We're not super, super fond of eggplant. Green and yellow beans. Kale. Kale has, like, I think...
Green and yellow beans? Okay, that's... Okay.
Of course, we talked about the lettuces of all kinds. Mushrooms. I think mushrooms are kind of, like...
Small amounts. It's another one of those.
Olives. Olives are good because they're more fatty. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing to have, like, in the same category as avocados. Onions. Careful with onions.
Careful with the onions.
The onions also, like, maybe like the bell pepper. I say red peppers because they're my favorite. But the bell peppers and the onions are a little bit more carby. Even the onion a little bit more. Radishes. I'm not so sure about radishes. Snow peas, spinach, summer squash, tomatoes, watercress,
summer
and zucchini.
Summer squash, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, like, I anything like so, as I'm always saying, any vegetable can be used in moderation, right? If you can have potatoes if you really have a small enough amount, right? Like, so, like, any vegetable can work in moderation, and depending on how you cooked it. So, like, if it's not fried, it's going to come across better. So I guess it would depend on how they're making them. But I mean, all the vegetables they named,
but top picks or safer picks, avocados, that's for sure. Lettuce, all the greens, the leafy greens. Olives are good for us.
But I want to also point out to people, like, I'm happy that I was able to take the time to eat each vegetable individually and see how it was affecting me, because vegetables are one of those things, you know, so plants don't want to be eaten. And they put toxins in themselves, so different kinds of lectins, with a C, lectins. Mm-hmm. And so the other thing is understanding how certain vegetables affect you. Depending on how your metabolic syndrome moved forward, we have different sensitivities afterwards to these foods. Right. So, like, for myself, I figured out nightshades really, really hurt me. And so I really do avoid the peppers and the tomatoes and the potatoes and all those things. So every person's different. You need to figure out for yourself. But I would just, like, caution people too, like, because you do have the opportunity now to, like, focus on a vegetable and see if you have a reaction.
Yeah. But you found also that the way you cook them, like, helps you with the lectins, right?
Oh, sure. You know, like, okay, yeah, because I was reading Dr. Mercola's book, and he talked about the plant toxins that they try to keep us from eating them, obviously. And what he pointed out is that there's a lot of cultures that already knew that pressure cooking foods is important in order to kill the toxins so that you can eat the food. If I remember correctly, one of the things he was talking about the most was beans, actually. But he said it works with every vegetable. And so what I started doing is I bought a pressure cooker, and I pressure cook all of my vegetables. Even the ones that don't bother me, I pressure cook everything just because it's just safer. And I would like to make sure that I'm getting the nutrients I want out of the food without poisoning myself. So that is an option, obviously.
Okay.
To pressure cook. But I mean, I pressure cook my vegetables, and you don't, and you're fine.
Yeah.
You don't, you're fine. You don't seem to have any reaction.
No.
Like, you know, that's the other thing. Okay, so I'm going to say that out. I'm going to say that out loud too. What I find really interesting is that so many people who do keto, and then they get to a level of health, and then they start to feel things and realize that there's this other level. So I do also, like, I can think of the guy from Primal Edge Health. He was one of the ones that talked about that, where he did keto and then after eventually went carnivore because he started to see how vegetables were affecting him. There's a lot of different, I think actually Crystal from Keto Savage, and I think Keto Savage, both of them have had their different reactions to that they thought might have been the vegetables. But anyways, my point is, there have been a lot of people who diminish their carbs and then realize that the actual vegetables were having an effect on them, and so they end up diminishing even more. And I feel like I'm one of them, like, where I got to a certain point and then I realized, oh, there's more. But I think that that's the thing, is like, if you, until you get to that point where you're healthier, then your body can do that next level, right? So there's a lot of people, especially if you're kind of person that keeps stepping in and out, in and out, in and out, that you might continue to harm yourself with certain vegetables, not knowing that they're hurting you because you didn't get to that level yet where your body could show you, okay, now work on this. Right. So I would, again, I encourage people, experiment with your vegetables. Yeah. It's like, do one at a time and see, like, does one give a different reaction than another? You might be surprised what you learn.
Okay. So we're done with the vegetables. Unsaturated oils. Can you just, like, tell the difference between unsaturated and saturated?
Well, the thing about saturated versus unsaturated is, like, at room temperature. So which one? At room temperature. Saturated oils, is it? That would become liquid?
No, it's probably... Or is it the unsaturated? The saturated, they have butter in there, so... And coconut oil. But for example, like, there's saturated fats, like Gotu's or ghee, coconut oil, butter. So, basically, yeah, probably the oils, like, you want to use to cook, to fry stuff. And the unsaturated, like, they just gave olive and macadamia, but probably avocado oil isn't that category.
Yeah,
I'm
probably
put
avocado oil.
So basically,
what is it? The unsaturated are the liquid ones.
The liquid, yeah.
And the saturated were the solid ones.
So that's for the oils. And I think, like, for sure we both have coconut oil all the time. That's a go-to.
Daily.
To cook our stuff. We put in coffee if we need it.
Butter, probably.
And olive oil for salad. And avocado oil for salad, too.
For frying an egg, probably, or something. Yeah. So the oils are
pretty simple. Cream, for sure, cream. I don't drink like bulletproof coffee or don't put coconut oil. I just like my coffee with heavy cream.
The only caveat I would say with heavy cream is just for people to know that even though on the container it says zero, it's 0.6. It's 0.6.
Okay.
Yeah. So when you do 30 mils, I think it is.
Yeah.
Is it 15 mils or 30 mils?
No, it's one. Per tablespoon, so,
so
for 15
so
mils.
Every 15 mils is 0.6. So if you put, for example, 30 mils, that's 1.2. Okay. So just for people to know that, because it's kind of, you know, that marketing thing. Mm.
Yeah. That's for me. Like, they have a stash of nuts. Even when I go to Costco sometimes, be careful. They can be expensive, depending. Like, a bag of macadamia is like $25 Canadian. Even the mixed nut, the container is like $22. So
I wonder what I'm going to save
expensive.
Now that I'm
They're
not buying.
Not,
huh? What am I going to save now that I'm not buying nuts?
That's it. So you need to be careful. They're somewhat addictive. Like, when you get into that, like, you like them, you want to buy, you want to eat more. But like, it can get expensive.
I would also add to that probably nut butters. Because that's the same thing too. The thing about the nut butters that's a little tricky is that if you're on keto, you're not putting it on bread or putting it, so you might be actually just eating it. And so you have to be careful because, again, that's that whole thing about processed foods. As you process them, you make the amount you can eat more because you kind of, you know, like.
Yeah, I can't find it in an article, but I think somewhere they do say that it cost them like around $60 per week in nuts.
In nuts? Wow.
Because they do buy
per week?
A lot.
Wow.
Per
okay, they're really eating through those nuts fast. I thought I was doing a bad job, but okay.
Seeds are good too with the nuts. Seeds, pumpkin seeds. They talk about sesame seeds, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds. So are they a little bit less expensive than nuts? Maybe a little bit less, but a good quality pumpkin seed can like maybe $20 per bag.
The thing about seeds is that you get so much more fat.
Okay.
Right? If I remember correctly. Yeah, I know for sure the pumpkin seeds are really fatty.
Yeah.
I'm thinking sunflower seeds, I think, too. So it's about the balance too, right?
And they're calorie. We know we don't like to talk about calories, but they're calorie dense. So if you do restrict your calories, be careful because like 30 grams.
You should be restricting your calories on
like
keto diet.
I know, but like 30 grams, like it's like 300 foreign carbs.
Pay attention to how many carbs are in it, though. That's what I would say. I would double check how much carbs are in them.
Okay.
I know pumpkins are good because they don't have a lot of carbs, but I can't remember for the sunflower seeds how many carbs.
Yeah. berries and okay, yeah, berries. Fruit? Fruits. They have a little section of fruits. They limit themselves to blackberry, raspberry, strawberries, blueberries. I know out of those four, strawberries, blueberries are not that low carb. You need to be really, really careful with them. Blackberries, raspberries are a little higher in fiber. I do consider them like a treat, like we said, like earlier.
No, all of this stuff right now that we're going through is more treats. Were there any more vegetables or fruits on there?
No, fruits. They say they have like a few apple slices once in a while, but like I don't even. The last time I'm not craving an apple. Like I used to eat apple all the time before, but like I don't even remember the last time I had an apple bite.
Honestly, I feel like an apple and a raspberry is the same thing.
You
still have to be careful how much you eat. That's it.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite, the full-fat yogurt. I know you don't like care about or like yogurt that much, I think. You never really buy it.
But, well, when I was eating yogurt back in the day, I wasn't eating plain yogurt, tell that for sure. So I don't think I liked it then, and I doubt I would like it now. Okay. So it's not something that ever calls to me.
Yeah.
If I was going to eat a flavor of yogurt, it would have been vanilla, and vanilla yogurt's going to be way off the charts. So I wouldn't even bother with yogurt.
Yeah, with yogurt, you need to be careful.
But like, I wouldn't...
all the flavors, even vanilla has like 18, 19 grams of...
Like for me, I feel like dairy is a place that I'm not willing to put my carbs.
Mm.
I find it's too much carbs for the amount that you get to eat.
Yeah.
That, to me, that's just a personal choice. Okay. I wouldn't eat ice cream. I wouldn't eat yogurt. Well,
you eat
I wouldn't eat
cheese. So.
But even the cheese, and even the cheese, I've just taken off.
You're right. You just said. Okay, but because in the same paragraph with the full-fat yogurt, they're talking about the cheese. So goat cheese, brie.
You know what? I'm not saying cheese isn't an option though. Like seriously, because you can actually eat a good amount of cheese.
Yeah.
Like seriously, I mean, considering what we were to be called a serving of cheese before, you can still eat a serving of cheese if you're doing cheese.
Yeah.
Right? So honestly,
But they're addictive. You can get to eat cheese because you crave cheese.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, this is where I'm being more careful with it. But in terms of if I'm choosing, like, what would have been a serving of ice cream? I couldn't even touch that right now if I wanted to have ice cream. But cheese, you can still have a serving.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I feel like that's an interesting thing because you can still have a real serving of cheese and be okay.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. But,
okay. Yeah. But obviously the next one are meat, poultry, and fish. So you're
I can't imagine there's anything on there that I'm not going to agree with, but let's go through their list.
No, they don't have like they're just like a two sentence basically.
Oh, okay.
Like tuna, sardines, shellfish for the fish.
I've started eating salmon, sardines.
Fatty, just like favor the fatty cuts of steak. You don't want the leanest cuts.
Yep.
Obviously, you need the good fat, a good amount of fats from those fatty cuts.
Or it depends. If you're doing grass-fed, then you can always re-add the fat because your grass-fed is going to have less fat. But then you just can add some olive oil or avocado oil or something to it.
Mm. Didn't we say before that chicken was too lean or too... what about chicken?
If I'm eating chicken, I tend to go for the dark meat. That's a bit more fatty. However, again, if you eat the breast, you can add olive oil or avocado oil.
They have a section about like no animal protein sources. We don't really do, I think we don't really do that. This includes tofu, textured vegetable proteins. I have no even idea what like what's that. But since cavery berry, no, yeah.
I think it's more on that one because I really have no idea what that is.
Yeah, and that's
fish?
About it.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we talked about like the fish and the meat.
So honestly, I would say that in their cupboard or in their pantry, they don't have much different than us.
Yeah.
Actually, the only thing they have a bit more snacky stuff than I have, anyways. But it's not that
different. One last thing about grass fed and organic and like for sure, if you wanted to, it can be expensive. But is it like required? Like
it's
what about
required.
Someone?
No,
what,
I'm not
what
saying
about
it's
someone
I'm just...
say, "Oh, you keto, you need to buy a grass-fed butter and like grass-fed seed and keto and organic that and."
Yeah, I'm not saying it's required. The only reason I brought it up is because you asked about like fattier cuts, and I'm like, it depends. Like, when you go to the grocery store and you're buying your meat, you know that those animals were not pasture raised. So then the fat that's in their meat is coming from grains, and so. Right, like what the animal eats is what we eat. So if I'm staying away from grains in my everyday, right? Like I'm actually looking for in the grocery store, I'm looking for the medium fatty meat. I'm not going for the fattiest one because I'm not going to get what I want to get out of that. However, that's a good thing about keto is that I'm cooking with olive oil. I can add olive oil after. I'm cooking with coconut oil. I'm cooking with avocado oil. So I can get that fat back in. It doesn't have to start there, is what I'm saying. But if you do pasture raised, so if you go for the better quality meat, but you find it a little less fatty, you can always add your fat that way too. So,
yeah. So you've been doing keto for what, like a year and a half? It's almost.
Yeah, it was about, okay. Well, let's see, April, May,
are you
June,
bored
July,
of
August.
Your new lifestyle?
Absolutely not.
I'm just trying to see.
So the question
is,
am I bored of feeling good?
Yeah.
No, I'm not at all bored of feeling good. Actually, I feel amazing. So I'm very happy.
But are you
with
bored of
doing?
Your meal? Like your meals, the like.
Okay, so I'm the worst person on the planet to ask that question to. Because you know for a fact that I don't care about food. I didn't care about food before I started this way of eating. So like I am that person who eats to live. I don't live to eat. Mm-hmm. So I've never been that girl, okay? So, but will I say that I enjoy my meals more now? I do actually, because I feel like being keto has taught me to put more energy into what I'm cooking. Mm. To spice things and try different spices and this kind of thing. So I really would say, I mean, we've tried different recipes just to try to see like what would taste like what and like, you know, cauliflower, can you make it taste good? And so we've done different things. So I would say, yes, I would say that I enjoy my food probably a little bit more now, but am I chasing food? I'm still not chasing food.
It's just because you can't imagine how many articles like that refer to keto as restrictive, not sustainable, blah, 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 blah.
So when we started keto, to be fair, like when I started, you thought I was nuts. And then like when you decided to jump on board, did you think that you would be keto forever? Or did you think, oh, I'm going to do this for a while until I get to where I want to get and then I'm going
to... No, but I have to say that my health issues, I think, were pushing me to make a permanent change. That's for sure.
Okay. So but I did knew you think it was going to be keto?
Did I think it would be keto? Not sure. Keto or low carb?
Yeah, because you were saying that all the time. Oh, I'm going to stay here. I'll be low carb.
But still to this date, I'm not like, at this point, I'm not counting. And I'm pretty sure I'm not at 20. I'm a little bit over 20, that's for sure. So that's why you don't see me, even on your videos, see that I do keto. I'm pretty sure I'm like maybe low carb or ultra low carb. I think I might be around 40, between 40 and 50 per day.
Okay.
But yeah, I do feel good and like my weight is stable and yeah. So that's what's keeping me there. Do I want to eat pasta? Do I want to eat rice? Do I want to eat cereals? Not at all. I don't. Even the fruits, I do my occasional blackberries that I put even in my salad that I do like the taste. But like, yeah, no more than that. So I keep it there.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is, right? Like, I feel like, again, we're very different. When I started this, because when I started it for my hip issue and learned how we were hurting ourselves with sugar, I knew right away I was never going to go back to sugar. Because to me, it's not logical. Why would I hurt me? I love me. So, like, there's just, like, to me, that's just not logical. But did I think that I would have gotten as low as I've gotten, like, to go sometimes days without having any carbs at all? I didn't think that was... I didn't envision that, but, like, I've done it a bunch of times. So do I feel like I'm going to stay this way forever? Yeah, I can't see hurting myself ever again. Like that, again, not logical to me. I won't do it. So this is where, like, I used to love ice cream. And now to me, I'm just like, it's not worth it to hurt myself to eat those things. To eat yogurt, I used to like yogurt too. To eat those things. That's how my mind works. Violet does not purposefully ever hurt Violet. To me, that's just illogical. Won't do it. So I guess every person's different. Like I was saying, like you're more about like, I don't even know what we call that. Just balance,
balancing,
I guess.
I think balancing.
I'm not interested in balance, I guess.
This
was fun. I like this article.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching. So I want to stop here and say, I have a Patreon account. If you've made it this far, I think you might be interested in helping us to make some more videos. You can go to patreon.com/Violet Rivera. And if you decide to, you can contribute to the production of some videos. I want to thank you for watching Mind Blowing Health and Wellness with Violet Pat Chat Edition. So and happy that you came by to watch with us.
And you should subscribe.
I never remember that part. You should subscribe. I'm so happy with how many people are already here. I love you guys. So, but you should subscribe if you haven't. If you're new, I'd love to have you in the Wellness Warriors.
Notification bell too.
I would love to have you in the Wellness Warriors. click the bell, like he said, so that you will know when my next videos are coming out, or our next videos are coming out. Thanks for coming by.
Bye.
Talk to you soon.